Receiver Preview Part 2. We did the top 24 in average draft position yesterday, so here we are to finish up our receiver preview. Adam Azer, Dave Richard, Jamie Eisenberg. Here are our Twitter handles. At Dave Richard.
Ta-da.
Singular. At Jamie Eisenberg.
Ta-da.
J-A-M-E-Y. And at Adam Azer.
Meow.
A-I-Z-E-R. And welcome to the show. How you guys doing? Fired up? Oh, how was football last night?
I wish we could talk more about that and less about receivers, but yeah. Obviously this is a receiver-centric podcast.
Well, on Monday, we're going to review everything from week one of preseason football. But just in case people are drafting this weekend, Ronnie Hillman, now that C.J. Anderson was concussed and Monte Ball is out, where do you take Ronnie Hillman?
Round 32.
Yeah,
I'd go higher than round 32.
I don't think you guys are being fair. I think.
I agree with you. I think
late round pick.
Yeah,
he's a handcuff. I mean, it's the same spot you're drafting. Niall Davis, Kristen Michael.
Michael's a little better than that.
Niall Davis.
Like handcuffs, middle of the pack handcuffs, that don't have sleeper potential with them. That's who went there.
It will be interesting to see this week if he is in fact concussed, because he said that he was not concussed. They will have to sign someone.
Yeah. Doesn't matter. I thought Hillman didn't play great.
They need depth because they can't go without Ball and Anderson to get through the reps they need to get through in practice. So will they bring in somebody just off the street, like an undrafted rookie free agent or somebody who's just sitting out there? Or Dave threw out a name last week, Michael Bush, somebody along those lines.
Or somebody that they used to know. You know what I mean? So I
didn't mean to cut you off.
Yeah.
What did we do with NoShawn last year? Late round pick, right?
But that's what I'm saying. That's how good he was. If Hillman's walking into a starting job in week one, it's the same argument that Jamie keeps making about Bernard Pierce and Ray Rice.
Yep.
Yeah, I know I was joking when I said the
no, but even late round might be like I wouldn't round nine. I think Ronnie Hillman, I wouldn't be afraid of him. I know you guys don't like his talent that much, but
it's
you
not
don't
that
have
we
to
don't.
Good.
No, actually, we do like his talent.
Yeah. I mean,
at this point last year, we were saying it's Ronnie Hillman was more than NoShawn Moreno. And then it was the tide just completely turned when Hillman kept fumbling.
Yeah.
Okay, he wasn't as good of a pass protector either.
Right.
He put on a little weight. I'm not going to say he's there as a pass protector. He's okay.
They had a very efficient drive against the Seahawks. And their offensive line looks much better with Clady back and Franklin inside. Much better.
Good.
We saw a lot of good offensive lines on
Monday. Monday. Go to cbssports.com/fantasyparty and join us August 23rd at 10 a.m., starting at 10 a.m. You can come draft with us. You can just get a little Q&A in there. We'll be at the CBS scene in Foxborough, Massachusetts. So if you're in the area, please come. It's free and should be a lot of fun.
Will you come dressed as LL Cool A?
I'm always dressed as LL Cool A. That's not like a character.
You don't
it's
have a Kangol.
What I am.
Wait, you mean people play characters on podcasts?
There's another fantasy event, Pittsburgh, August 17th at the Dave and Buster's on the waterfront. You can get tickets at a number of locations. Shoot me a note on Twitter if you want to know more about it. It's a big deal, hosted by 93.7 The Fan in Pittsburgh. Can't wait to see you there.
After Emmanuel Sanders goes off the board in the sixth round, we are now on to the seventh round in a 12-team league, and Jeremy Maclin, Julian Edelman, Torrey Smith and Golden Tate are off the board in the next four picks, back to back to back to back. Maclin, Edelman, Torrey Smith, Golden Tate. Who are your faves?
Golden Tate and Edelman.
I've got Smith and Tate ahead of Maclin and then Edelman. I'm not feeling it with Edelman.
All right, let's discuss it.
I don't think there's 100 catches in him this year. I don't even know if there's 80.
First of all, is he clearly better in PPR?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I'll make that admission.
Yep.
But as long as Gronk's healthy, Gronk kind of takes precedence over Edelman. Think of what happened last year that made Edelman such a great fantasy wide receiver. Danny Amendola banged up, didn't know what he was doing. Rob Gronkowski out for much of the season. Rookie receivers didn't know what they were doing. Someone had to step up. Brady needed somebody that he was familiar with, and it turned out to be Edelman. And he had a monster year. But if you go back and you look at the playing time he had without Gronkowski versus with Gronkowski, his numbers fell off a cliff. And Gronk's healthy. He's supposed to be there week one, ready to go. doing his Gronk spike and all that cool stuff that I don't know how to do. Edelman, I think he's going to revert big time this year, so I wouldn't draft him.
You keep bringing up his game logs, right?
Yeah, I'm actually looking at it right now.
I figured that's where you were going. He had the two big games, right? With Gronk.
With Gronk, out of six.
Two of six were big.
One of six was big because I don't count the Cleveland game because
I think it's the targets you keep referencing.
Yeah. 11 in one and 12 in the other. Right. Now, one of those was against Denver. That was that crazy game. Right. The other was at Houston.
I don't think you can like Tom Brady and not like Julian Edelman because Brady has said that Edelman is his favorite receiver right now. Now, that takes into account receivers. Gronk is his favorite target. So I think Edelman, 100 catches is unrealistic. But Wes Welker was pretty good and put up pretty good numbers when Gronk and Aaron Hernandez were there playing at a very high level. So I think Edelman is still going to have some very big games, and that's going to be his red zone guy along with Gronk. So when Gronk's taken out of the picture, they like that little right on the goal line, throw it at the racily at the floor.
Right.
And Edelman dives in. So I think Edelman's going to have probably close to 80 catches, probably close to 1,100 yards, and probably six touchdowns, which puts him at very serviceable number three receiver in the standard league.
What do you make of the fact that these were Edelman's fantasy points in the six games that Rob Gronkowski was healthy? 4, 0, 1, 2, 23, and 10.
I don't think they were really ever in sorts. Whole passing game. All season. Because he was sacked more times, since 2007, 2008? No.
Been a while.
2009, something like that. He had most sacks. His completion percentage was down. So I think he likes that role. He likes a slot guy. It could be Amendola taking him off the field. That's my concern. It's not necessarily Gronk because Gronk's going to dominate this passing game. They don't have an outside guy. Dobson can't get on the field because of his foot. Brandon LaFell to me is a blocker, and that's about it. I don't think Brandon LaFell does anything. Kenbrell Tompkins, we saw what he could do last year. He's serviceable. He's not going to do anything outside of a big play here, big play there. He's not going to be consistent. So they play. What does Pete Prisco like to say? Every team likes to play outside in. They play inside out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Their whole passing game is right in the middle of the field.
Well, that's Edelman for you.
Yes.
Right. Okay. Any rebuttal or?
No. Jamie said around 80 catches for Edelman. I've got him projected for 82. He said six touchdowns for Edelman. I've got him for six touchdowns. I don't think he does as well yardage-wise.
Okay.
I think he's under 950 yards.
Convince me why Jeremy Maclin is not going to have a huge year.
Health.
Based on the ACL?
Yeah, I mean, his knee, he still says he feels it.
Okay.
There could be a week here and there where he doesn't practice and ends up not playing. He had one amazing year, and he needed 10 touchdowns to have that amazing year.
DeShaun Jackson just had his best year ever. Riley Cooper had a huge
year.
Yeah,
but I don't know if Jeremy Maclin is the same receiver. I think he's closer to Cooper than he is to DeShaun Jackson.
This was a passing offense in Philadelphia that actually threw the sixth fewest passing attempts in the NFL,
mm-hmm.
but they were the most efficient in terms of yards per attempt. So if they regress, that's not a good, which they probably will. I mean, I don't know if they're going to be number one in efficiency 2 years in a row. Not necessarily a good thing for Eagles.
They could finish as a top eight
team
in efficiency and still be very much 50-50 run pass, which is effectively what they were.
Is there still breakout potential for Torrey Smith, or is he who he is?
If you're counting on Torrey Smith breaking out, you're asking him to just combine his years. Because in 3 years, the first 2 years, he averaged seven touchdowns a season.
Yeah.
Last year, he had a career high in catches and yards, went over 1,200 yards receiving.
On 65 catches.
Right. So if you're expecting 65 catches, 1,200 yards, and seven touchdowns, you're going to get a great season.
Are you expecting that?
It's just difficult. It's difficult to expect that because last year he was really the focal point of the passing game. You know, he didn't have Pitta, he didn't have Bolden. Those two guys were a big part of what maybe was holding back the first two seasons. So now you bring in Pitta, who is Joe Flacco's guy. I mean, it's the Jason Witten effect. You know, we always used to talk about Tony Romo fixates on Jason Witten. That's what Flacco does.
I think you're right. Yeah.
And so then Steve Smith. I mean, look, we could all sit here and say Steve Smith's old, he's done, whatever.
That's still a
guy that's probably going to be around 50 catches.
Mm-hmm.
So that's 50 catches taken away from that's catches coming away from Smith. Pitta's catches are coming away from Smith. They still like Marlon Brown. They're still going to throw to their running backs. Now, if you're a Torrey Smith guy, you're saying, well, it's Gary Kubiak's offense. He's playing Andre Johnson's role. That should help him. I just think Torrey Smith is who he is. You know, he's a very good third receiver who can start for you when needed, flex when you when needed, and be, you know, good. He's just not going to...
But a little boomer bust.
A little boomer bust,
because he's a big-time yards per catch guy. Yeah. I mean, he's a 17-yard per catch guy, so you don't know what you're going to get from Torrey Smith.
Here's who he is. He's been, like, at 50% target conversion his entire career.
Yeah.
He's never, you know, you think about the best receivers in football, they're way over 60% usually.
But sometimes the guys who go deep, like Torrey Smith, do have the lower target conversion rate.
Sure, but I mean, this is a consistent, like, 48% type deal. And last season, only four games with 10 or more fantasy points, three games with exactly nine. In standard scoring, PPR, that goes up a little bit. He barely makes it as a number two receiver for me. Barely.
All right, Golden Tate. In the Calvin Johnson era, and I went back like 5 years, there has not been a number two wide receiver who's done well in standard scoring leagues. You know, Burleson was good in PPR, but he didn't have the touchdowns. The last 2 years, the second and third leading receivers have either been running backs or tight ends. So,
but you also have to be fair. They haven't really had a number two guy.
Sure, I'm just setting it up. is Golden Tate going to be different than all the other kind of fantasy failures?
They paid him like it.
Yeah.
But now
they have Ebron, too.
Easily the best wide receiver they've ever had playing opposite Calvin Johnson. Easily. And now that Ebron's on the field, and I think Calvin, Ebron, and Tate are going to be in on every single play. I think they're going to run those three out there every single time, and then they're going to mix and match either another tight end or another wide receiver or another running back as the kind of fifth guy among the skill position players on the offense. Tate's going to see a lot of single coverage. He's plenty fast. He has good hands. And he's got he's in a much better offense than he's ever been in.
Sure.
And he's got a quarterback that will gun it. I think it's a slam dunk that he breaks his career highs. His career high, 898 yards receiving. That was last year. That's going to get smashed up the right way. Seven touchdowns 2 years ago with Seattle.
Yeah,
gets there. I don't know if he gets eight, but I could see him getting seven. The biggest concern I've got is whether or not he's an impact player in the red zone.
Yeah.
I think he's going to be like the last guy the Lions go to when they're in the red zone.
So of that group, Macklin, Edelman, Smith, Tate, who's got the most upside? Macklin, Edelman, Torrey Smith, Tate.
If everything falls into place?
Yeah, best case scenario.
It should be Macklin.
I agree.
Okay. Next group, we got T.Y. Hilton, Mike Wallace. You'll see the rookies come off the board now. Sammy Watkins is going 87th overall. Marcus Colston, Terrence Williams. We'll stop at Colston, though. We got T.Y. Hilton, Mike Wallace, Sammy Watkins, and Marcus Colston. Are we discounting Colston a little bit too quickly here? He's not that old or anything, and he was a top 12, maybe like top 15 wide receiver in 2011 and 2012, and then he fell off a little bit last year. But he had a huge game against Seattle in the playoffs. Can I ask you about him first? And then, you know, with Kenny Stills, with Brandon Cooks, just your overall thoughts on Colston and the Saints wide receivers.
It sounds to me like he was playing hurt for much of last season.
Right. 2 years.
Yeah, and now the Saints are going to try and really rest him up during the week, maybe only give him one practice a week during the season, so that they can use him. And I think he's going to end up being in the slot a lot. And that's an interesting matchup. Right, I know. But I think he almost might go there exclusively, other than on, you know, typical rushing plays where he's an outside guy.
Sure. And they go big, he'll be outside.
Right.
And he was a top 12 receiver both 2011, 2012. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, I think he's okay as a third receiver. He's probably a guy. He's not probably. He's definitely a guy that I'm settling for, but I think definitely more appeal in the PPR league than the standard league. But in that offense, who is the defense going to cover first?
Jimmy Graham.
And then they got to worry about Cooks because he's the
no, I think then they got to the worry about Colston.
See, I think Colston might end up being third, the third
well,
guy they worry
I mean,
about.
Seriously,
I would actually
gonna...
say they're going to worry about Stills first because they can't let him get behind the defense.
They can't let him or Cooks get behind the defense.
Well, they're worried.
Cooks isn't going to run the same routes that Stills is going to run because Stills is just basically, you know, go.
Right.
I looked up Kenny Stills' numbers in college because last year he averaged the most yards per catch of any receiver with more than 18 catches. And he wasn't anything like that in college. He was like 12, 13 yards per catch.
Well, it's offense he played it too.
So I'm just saying, like, he's not a one-trick pony. If they want to turn Kenny Stills into a different type of receiver,
well, that's
they can.
That's the pro-Kenny Stills, anti-Marcus Colston argument, is that now he's entering a second year. He's got a year in the, under his belt, year in the system, year with Drew Brees. Colston can't practice, so that takes him off the field, you know, during the week. I think if I'm a Marcus Colston guy, I'm hoping for an Anquan Boldin 2013 year. Just forget about me on draft day and let him fall. Like Dave said, perfect word. You settle for a Marcus Colston. And you know what? Holy cow, he comes out and he has that typical 2-3 touchdown game. You'd like to see it in the first 3-4 weeks of the season because yeah. Then you feel a little bit more comfortable, and then you can trade him.
Do you like him better than Hilton, Wallace, or Watkins?
I like him better than Watkins. I don't like him better than Wallace. I would probably go back and forth with Hilton depending on my team. If I'm looking at it and I need a third receiver at that point and I don't love my first two guys, I would take Hilton. If I like my first two guys, then I probably would settle for Colston because, you know, there's that opportunity for him to have those type of games.
You know, it's funny. I would do the exact opposite.
That's what I was thinking. Yeah. Because I feel like Hilton's got more
upside,
right?
I feel like Colston's safer and Hilton's the guy that could really explode.
Fair.
I don't think I'm going to draft T.Y. Hilton. I feel like he's Vincent Jackson light, unless you just want to play him at home where he seems to be better. But Andrew Luck, maybe it's going to go up, but he just doesn't throw enough touchdown passes. He's a really good quarterback, and he adds the rushing yards, but 23 touchdown passes in each of his first two seasons. And I just don't think Hilton, because he is a deep ball threat, you know. I don't know that he's going to get the red zone targets like we were talking about with Macklin. Or who were you saying that about?
What, the
red zone targets?
When? Like whoever, if you miss a Golden Tate.
Oh, Golden Tate. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know about Hilton. He's a little too hit or miss for me.
I liked how they were using him against the Jets.
They're going to move him all over the place.
Yeah.
His role is completely changing.
I really...
You think so?
I know so. I mean, that's what they've said. He finally feels comfortable. Last year was big for him, you know, because he had to play different roles. So they'll move him around. They have options now, you know, because they have two guys they can play outside. They can put him outside and move Reggie inside.
So he's going to be a more consistent wide receiver, you think?
I think you'll get the best of T.Y. Hilton, you know, but it's going to depend if it comes consistently or not. That's my concern with him. I don't think there's any argument he's the best Colts receiver. You know, Hakeem Nicks doesn't seem to get it right now, according to the reports. He might say he's in the best shape of his life, but it doesn't really matter to me. and Reggie Wayne's coming off a torn ACL. So their red zone is going to be their tight ends. I mean, they're going to use Dwayne Allen and Kobe Fleener in the red zone.
Hilton's a boom or bust. Just taking it from last year, 16 games, 5 of them, 10 or more fantasy points. Everything else, 7 or fewer. I hope that changes a little bit and that because he gets more playing time, he'll end up putting up more stats on a weekly basis. But this is a team where you know Reggie Wayne's going to be out there. If they don't like Nicks, then he's going to be the one who's going to see like 50% of the snaps, and Hilton will be out there.
I don't think T.Y. Hilton's coming off the field.
Yeah. I don't think they should take him off the field.
I just don't. Reggie and Nicks will be the ones rotating with each other.
He caught all 5 of his touchdown passes
in two games. Yeah. I think Reggie and Hilton, along with Dwayne Allen, stay on the field almost all the time.
And then
Fleener and Nicks are the ones.
Best thing that happened to T.Y. Hilton was last year. Best lesson he could have learned.
Which is what?
Was Reggie Wayne getting hurt and he being forced
to
take that number one.
Yeah.
So Reggie Wayne, you're just kind of number 4 wide receiver,
fantasy.
Yeah,
you have to view him that way. Another one in that Boldin. Forget about him. See what happens. You draft him late, and maybe he rebounds.
It's not a sexy pick, but it is a good value later on in your draft.
Sammy Watkins. We're gonna get a lot of questions about him. I know people say rookie wide receivers never do well, and they're not right. I mean, I heard that a lot in the off season, and that's not true. Elite, like great rookie wide receivers, have big years.
A.J. Green,
Julio
perfect
Jones,
example. Julio's a good example.
And Sammy Watkins, I believe, a better prospect coming into the draft than Tavon Austin.
Can he overcome E.J. Manuel as his quarterback?
Right.
That's the question.
Does
you could
he have
put him
to?
On 24 other teams in this league, and we'd be off to the races with Sammy Watkins.
So in what scenario are you taking Sammy Watkins? Like, this is what I feel good about my wide receivers. I'm going to take a shot now on a third guy? Or is he a fourth guy?
I almost categorize him as he can be your third guy. He probably should be your fourth guy. But more importantly, he's your sleeper. He's your round – the way I would view him is he's my round nine sleeper.
But he's not getting there.
That's why he's not my round nine sleeper. He's somebody else's round eight sleeper. And I like other players, a certain running back in New York in round eight, better than a super wide receiver in round nine.
You agree, mostly?
Yeah, I think the fact that he's going to look good in shorts, he's going to look good in practice, he's going to make one-handed grabs. He's an elite-level talent, but he's got a mediocre quarterback right now. And he's on a run-first team that's going to get, you know, in bad weather in the cold months, and that's going to hurt him. So I think if he's what Dave said is the right way to phrase it. You'd rather him have him as your fourth. If he becomes your third or even better, great. But you just don't necessarily want to rely on him in that same mold as a starter.
I don't even like categorizing him as a fourth or a third. Let him be whatever he is. Just don't take him before round nine.
What about
unless
PPR?
You really like him, and then go ahead and take him.
What about PPR? Is he going to be better?
Round
PPR,
eight PPR, sure.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a different ball game.
Well, do you see him being more of like a, you know, short catches?
I think they'll run him in every different possible type of route. And that coaching staff paid a hefty price for him. And if they don't win this year,
the coaching staff.
Yeah, well, there's going to be a full house cleaning there if they don't go to the playoffs.
Well, he's going in round eight right now, and we continue deeper into round eight to Terrence Williams, and into round nine to Kendall Wright.
Like the fact that Sammy Watkins is going ahead of those two guys is just silly.
Well, even agreed. In standard leagues with Kendall Wright?
Yes.
Yeah.
So Kendall Wright was 31st in standard last year, 20th in PPR.
Three more touchdowns. He's number 21.
But a lot of guys want three more touchdowns. They don't get it.
Yeah, but that's not hard to do.
They had, well.
It was last year in Tennessee.
I mean, Tennessee had the 20th most passing touchdowns in the NFL last year. Hopefully Locker improves that. And Kendall Wright only, this is my argument against him. He only 8 red zone targets and only 1 touchdown over 15 yards in his career. So unless he gets red zone targets, he doesn't seem like to be the kind of guy, Kendall Wright, that's going to score long touchdowns. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So are they going to throw to him in those situations?
I can't say with any certainty yes, because we haven't seen it.
Yeah.
Tell me the type of red zone touchdowns Keenan Allen had last year.
But that's the thing about Keenan Allen is that he had the ability to be a deep threat. Kendall Wright has a pretty low yards per catch. He had 11.5 last year, 9.8 in his rookie year.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas Keenan Allen, DeSean Jackson, these guys score long touchdown passes. Kendall Wright hasn't shown that ability yet. Now, if you guys think he has...
I don't know if I put Keenan Allen in the same conversation as DeSean Jackson.
Okay. But you see what I'm saying. I mean, they're deep... okay. All right, that's fair.
Keenan Allen's not really a deep threat.
Okay, I thought he was more of a vertical guy than... I know he's kind of slow.
He's more of a vertical guy than Kendall Wright.
Kendall Wright.
Yes, that's a fair discussion.
Keenan had 16 catches of 20-plus yards. Guess how many of them went 40-plus yards?
3.
Lower.
None.
1.
Well, I mean, his quarterback probably has something to do with that.
Well, I think the system that he's in had something to do with it.
So how
and
many
who's
did Kendall
running
Wright have?
That system in Tennessee now? It's Ken Wisenhunt. Keenan Allen, by the way, 19 red zone targets... 6 touchdowns in the red zone. That's what I was getting at with Kendall Wright.
Oh, okay.
I think Wright can definitely pick up the touchdowns. Jamie, you said if he had 3 more touchdowns, where would he finish?
21.
In standard scoring.
In standard scoring.
I think that's a guy everybody should look at.
Okay.
Again, it's not like we're saying he has to go from 3 to 10 or 3 to 8.
He had 2 last.
I'm sorry, 2 to 8.
Right. We're saying 2 to 5.
2 to 5. And that's, you know, it's In some regards, he's asking a lot because he's got 6 career touchdowns.
Yeah, but this is his third year.
That the thing that I look at is change in system. I'm counting on Jake Locker playing more games, which is an asterisk because you can't factor his – you know, you can't say that somebody – that his receiver is going to do well and not expect the quarterback to have a big part in that. But, you know, we can't sit here and say, you know, I probably like Kendall Wright a little bit more than Dave does, and we both like Justin Hunter as a sleeper. Mm-hmm. You can't sit here and say that those guys are going to play well without Jake Locker being a part of it. You know, I don't think it's going to be Charlie Whitehurst and then Zach Mettenberger. You know, if it comes down to those two guys playing, then these receivers are going to probably struggle.
So who do you guys like
better? Dare you talk down clipboard Jesus. By the way, both of Kendall Wright's touchdowns,
yeah,
both in the red zone.
I know, but he needs more red zone targets.
Yeah, he only had 8.
Right, that's what I'm saying. He hasn't shown the ability to score outside of the red zone. He's done it once in his career.
Leave it to the Wiz.
I'm looking at Wiz and Hunt's track record also. You know, granted, the receivers that he's had to work with are obviously very good. You know, when you go back to Hines Ward in Pittsburgh, the two guys in Arizona, and Fitzgerald and Bolden, and Keenan Allen. He got 1,000-yard seasons out of all those guys, along with, why am I blanking on his name? I asked you this question before. The third receiver in Arizona that year.
Andre Roberts?
No, before him.
Oh. Steve Breaston.
So,
oh, I got it right when you asked. I pulled it out of my
right.
Breaston.
Okay.
That was really, you guys laughed at that?
Yeah, it was hilarious. It was one of my best jokes, Dave. I'm going to write it down. So who do you like better then, Kendall Wright or Terrence Williams?
Williams.
I like Wright better, and I don't know why. Because I think Terrence Williams is going to have a big season.
Jamie. Do you like Wright better in PPR? Or Williams, or Wright better in PPR?
Yeah, sure. Right. Flip-flop him in standard and PPR.
Williams clearly has the higher ceiling. I probably should address that.
Yeah, so Williams last year had 9 red zone targets. Dez had 20. Witten had 14. DeMarco Murray had 7. It's hard. I guess it's hard to predict year to year what's going to happen in terms of red zone targets. I don't want to make too much of it. But he could have, you know, he had a good rookie season. 736 yards and 5 touchdowns. He had the same amount of catches as Michael Floyd in Floyd's rookie season. He had like 170 more yards and he had 3 more touchdowns, Terrence Williams. So really good rookie season there.
And just to point out, after watching the Cowboys offense on that preseason game against San Diego, they put in their first string offensive line with their second string quarterback.
Second string everything.
Yeah.
Williams was
Right. And they didn't even have Brandon Whedon marched on the Chargers. And not that the Chargers have the best defense in football, but that offensive line gave Whedon time to throw. I'm encouraged.
Whedon looked like a capable quarterback.
I'm more encouraged with Tony Romo now, and Romo didn't even play in the preseason game.
Oh, it's all on the
O-line.
You guys.
That was part of Romo's problem, though. He didn't have time, and he'd get hit. You take that away, and he's going to throw.
Well, what's better about their O-line?
Well, they drafted a guy at left guard. Their center is a second-year player. They've got a franchise left tackle. Some people believe that Smith is the best left tackle in the NFL now.
He's quite good.
Questions at right guard and right tackle is kind of okay. Off the top of my head, I can't remember who they've got. I could look it up if you really care.
No.
But I just I think the offensive line. The funniest part is that it might be third best in the division, but it's still one of the best in football. They've got a nice, strong, young offensive line. Doug Free is their right tackle.
I actually think I knew that. So how about that? Okay, after Kendall Wright, we're at Eric Decker, Brandon Cooks, Reggie Wayne, and finishing off round 9 with Mike Evans. Decker, Cooks, Wayne, and Evans. Thoughts on this group? Likes and
I'm
dislikes.
Actually okay with Decker at this spot. I'm glad he's fallen this far.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, you said something on yesterday's show. Round 5, if he's a bust, you're okay with it. Round 7 or round 8, round 9, if a guy's a bust, even better.
Yeah.
And I think he can deliver numbers similar to his rookie season when he scored, I think it was 7 touchdowns.
But you're going to have your pick of Decker, Cooks, Wayne, and Evans at this point. Obviously, you're taking Kendall Wright and Terrence Williams ahead of Decker, guys.
Mm-hmm.
Dave? Yeah.
Actually, I have Decker ahead of Wright in a standard league.
Okay.
I think he'll fall into production because he's going to get a lot of targets and a lot of catches.
I just thought this was kind of funny. The Jets threw 22 touchdown passes last year. The Broncos threw 55. He's gone from the most to the least 2013. The Jets have added a lot on offense, though. Can only get better, right? Second-year quarterback now with a competent backup, end, with a receiver.
Yeah, they absolutely got better.
They improved their O-line, too.
Yeah.
A little bit.
How are you feeling about Brandon Cooks? Would you go with Cooks or Decker?
I would go with Decker over Cooks. I'll admit that Cooks is far more exciting than Decker. I think Decker is, you know, it's like the Colston versus somebody else. Hilton, I think we had. Remember the Colston-Hilton argument that we had earlier in this podcast? Decker's safer. Cooks is more exciting. Cooks has more upside. Cooks is in the better offense.
Yeah.
But I think Decker by the end of the year is going to have better numbers than Cooks, which is why we rank him the way that we do.
Cooks over Mike Evans?
I've got it that way.
Yeah. You changed, huh?
I did.
Reggie Wayne in between Cooks and Evans. One last chance, Reggie Wayne. Reggie Wayne, three out of four seasons before last year, 100 catches. And the one season he didn't was the terrible year for the Colts, right?
Right, when they didn't have Peyton.
Yeah. So he's still, you know, he still was a great receiver before last year when he got hurt after seven games.
There's just so many mouths to feed now.
Yeah.
And his mouth has been fed a lot over his NFL career.
We still have some good sleepers on the board after this point. We got Reuben Randall, Riley Cooper, Tavon Austin, Akeem Nix, Josh Gordon, Anquan Boldin, Kelvin Benjamin, Marvin Jones, who was a top 24 wide receiver, a lot of touchdowns last year. Kenny Stills, DeAndre Hopkins.
All these guys going before Dwayne Bowe?
No, I didn't say him. Oh, he's right before the... It goes Mike Evans, then Dwayne Bowe, then all those guys I just said. So who are some of the guys you might be targeting in the late rounds?
Of the ones you named?
Yeah.
Randall.
Names again?
Randall's one of my favorites. Yep.
I don't know what to make of Reuben Randall. This is Reuben Randall caught five touchdowns last year, and he did it all, pretty much all against the worst defenses against wide receivers, for whatever that's worth. The Eagles, the Raiders, the Vikings, the Packers were up there, and then the Bears were the only team that was respectable against wide receivers last year that Randall caught a touchdown against. He caught six touchdowns against five different teams.
And that's what he did with a bad offensive system, an outdated offensive system, let's not call it bad, and a quarterback who was under pressure every single time he dropped back.
Yeah.
This is a better offensive system that he's in now. The offensive line's been addressed. We know the quarterback can be very good. I think Reuben Randall's in line for a very nice year, and that's another guy I'm targeting at the midway point in my draft.
Of the guys we've mentioned, who has top 24 potential? So we're looking at Bo, we're looking at Nix, we're looking at Randall, Cooper, Austin, Bolden, Benjamin, Marvin Jones, Kenny Stills, etc.
I put Randall in there, top 24?
Yeah.
Randall and Marvin Jones, and that's it.
I would say Randall, Stills. That's it for me.
No Cooper. Earlier this offseason, I would have said Cooper.
What's changed?
He's hurt, and Philadelphia drafted Jordan Matthews. I think that's going to take away from him and Macklin. And I think Zach Ertz is going to Gronk out. I think he's going to have a big, big year.
So Jordan Matthews, is he worth drafting?
Oh, yeah.
But not at this point.
Average draft position right now is round 12.
Yes, it is. Just behind Marcus Wheaton, Cecil Shorts, Danny Amendola, DeAndre Hopkins. Justin Hunter is back there. Jared Boykin.
That's a guy I love, Jared Boykin.
I don't know. Just make sense of all these guys, if you wouldn't mind. Talk about some of them.
Well, I think the Hunter hype is just because he's a guy that can get downfield and make plays. The same thing, like there's a guy you're not going to see on average draft position, but Andre Holmes is a guy that's getting a lot of hype as well because these are big play type receivers, and if their quarterbacks can get them the ball, you're going to get some excitement and maybe some, I don't know, consistent production, but you're going to get some huge games. A lot of Vincent Jackson-esque performances, just not as many Vincent Jackson-esque performances on the good variety. So Hunter's got hype around him. Andre Holmes has hype around him. I like Boykin because of the offense he's going to play in, and I think you saw a little bit of it last year. He didn't really get a chance to play with Aaron Rodgers because right after Randall Cobb got hurt, two games later, Aaron Rodgers got hurt. So, you know, the James Jones factor, if you want to consider it, you know, when James Jones was their touchdown guy, that's not going to be Jared Boykin, but those catches have to go somewhere. Jermichael Finley's numbers have to go somewhere. And it can't just be all Randall Cobb and Jordy Nelson.
Best Rams receiver.
It's funny because it's sounding like Kenny Britt right now.
Is he a good sleeper?
I want to see it to believe it, though. That's just a guy I have such a hard time trusting. I don't care if you take him with one of your last picks, but I just...
Tavon Austin,
I know what he does.
His ADP, then the look at the green arrow next to Kenny Britt.
Must have changed because it's now down four spots.
Okay,
but it probably went pretty high. But Tavon Austin, does he bounce back this year?
You know, when we talked to Jason LaConfora on Tuesday on our video show, and he said just sees him as a gimmick guy, it's hard to get around that because you know he's going to play on special teams. They're going to try and do some things, bubble screens and things of that like. I don't know if he's anything more than somebody I would just take a flyer on.
You have to spend a flyer on a Rams receiver. Austin, Britt, Brian Quick. Everybody else doesn't matter. Of those three, who do you spend the flyer on?
Today?
today, you're drafting
Austin,
and you've got to fly.
Today,
Austin. Today, Junior.
Tavon Austin, but
it could be Kenny Britt in a week. I mean, look, if Kenny Britt goes physically, Kenny Britt is a number one type receiver.
Right, when he's standing there and you're looking at him, he passes the eyeball.
Oh, absolutely.
We saw it in person.
Yep.
How about Odell Beckham Jr., number 12 pick in the draft? Does he have? He's been sidelined, but is he worth drafting?
The hamstring scares me. Scares me like a girl in a cave full of spiders.
You keep hearing the word decoy with them, that they just want him to take the top off the defense.
He can't run.
Well, when he's on the field, obviously. Yeah.
He's another guy who might be on
special
teams.
When a guy misses a ton of training camp in preseason with a hamstring injury, you should run the other way.
He could have
not into a cave full of spiders.
He can have a Reuben Randle type effect, though, if he has that stretch, you know, when everybody's going to jump on it, and then you'll start him, and it'll be the one game where he falters.
Right. Okay, anybody else? Deep leagues, PPR leagues, Brian Hartline, PPR?
Oh, sure.
Give me a New England wide receiver that could have a big year.
Dobson.
LaFell.
Why are you on this LaFell train? I don't get it.
He's going to play. Dobson's got 1 foot.
Give me a Jaguars wide receiver that could have a big year.
They're really hyping up Marquise Lee right now.
He's the man, okay? He's the man. He's so good.
You can go and tell everybody
that he's the man. He's the man? Sorry, I went Elton John on you, and you were doing the remix. Okay. Late round worth drafting
him? I got a tweet last night that said, you should be fired for having Chad Henne at number 32. So I wrote back and I said, Who should I have him over? And he said, he should be like 27 or 29 over Geno Smith. I said, I should be fired over that?
Of course, I have Henne 30th. So,
oh, who do you have him ahead of?
I have him ahead of Matt Schaub and Tom Savage, Adam.
Okay. How about that?
It's good that you're taking Chad Henne over the third string
in Houston.
Okay.
Let's just say I don't really believe in Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Do you think Tom Savage gets that job?
Not in week one.
But eventually?
Yeah.
All right, then let's do some emails and tweets. Ernest asks, when should we draft Josh Gordon, if at all?
If you're drafting this weekend, I think anywhere after round 9 or 10.
I'm stunned that the NFL doesn't have a ruling on this by now. They're about to play preseason games. If he's suspended for the year, he's taking preseason snaps away from somebody else.
Well, yeah, but
there's no reason for him to play.
He's run anywhere from first string to third string, though.
But, that's true. But if he plays, that might lead me to believe that he's not going to get a full suspension, like that, and that the Browns know it already.
How many games does he have to be eligible for you to draft him?
Two. I mean, 8 is probably the number.
Yeah.
I think that's kind
of it. So if he's suspended 12 games.
I mean, I have this decision to make. I'm in a keeper league that we have to decide. We haven't decided when the keepers are due. But anybody that was drafted round 9 or later, you can keep forever as a 13th round pick or later. So,
and Gordon's one of those guys for you?
Gordon is one of those guys for me. But I also have Zach Stacy. It's a very heavy PPR league. Zach Stacy's one for sure. Shane Vereen is one for sure. Percy Harvin is one for sure. And then I have to decide between Josh Gordon and Ben Tate.
Dude, get rid of Percy Harvin.
No way.
And that
because you don't like him doesn't mean he's not going to be good.
But there's so much more upside Gordon.
Not with Ben Tate, though.
All right, fine. Then get rid of Ben Tate. I don't care. It's not my team.
Iron Mike, who has the best comeback year? Reggie Wayne, Jeremy Maclin, or Malcolm Floyd?
Maclin.
GlennonGetsGirls.com. Why isn't Demaryius Thomas number one over Calvin?
Based on last night, you can make an argument for it. I mean, he looked really good.
Yeah, he is really good. So, why not number one, dudes?
I think if they both play their best, Calvin's better.
And I think Calvin's got the quarterback that will throw downfield more often.
Calvin Johnson is the best wide receiver I've ever seen in my life.
In person?
No. With my
own
eyes.
Because you were born in 1996, so you haven't seen Jerry Rice play.
Well, that was the thing. I never saw Jerry Rice in his
prime. I once said that Calvin Johnson, when it's all said and done, will be better than Jerry Rice. More dominant on the field.
Where are you?
The word dominant, I mean, Calvin's more physically imposing. Mm-hmm. So to throw that caveat in, but just in terms of statistically, I think Jerry will be better.
Okay. John McCullough, would you be happy with Keenan Allen as your number one receiver?
No.
How great are my running backs and tight end? If I made it big on running backs and tight end, I'm okay with it.
You've got Matt Forte, Alfred Morris, Rob Gronkowski, your first three picks. And then Keenan Allen.
Keenan Allen isn't a fourth rounder. I'm getting a better receiver than that in round four. I'm getting a better receiver than Keenan Allen in round four. Unless it's like a 14 team.
How many picks are in four rounds?
48.
Keenan Allen is 47th.
Really? He's right on that cusp, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not doing that. If Keenan Allen has to be my fifth round pick.
And that's exactly where, because you'd be going three. Forte's ADP is four. So four, Alfred Morris is right in there, right?
Well, that would be what? That'd be 20?
Right.
Oh,
right
if I could start my draft with Forte and Alf, I would just like, I would douse myself.
Well, that's why I did those
I would
too.
Douse
yeah,
myself
that's
in
Alfred's
chicken wing sauce.
20.
Right. And then
Gosh,
Gronk
what
is,
do you go to sleep with the ADP next to you?
I just wrote our first ADP preview.
Okay.
So I know Gronkowski's 30.
Well, I'm not even going to look it up. I'm just going to assume you're right. Cody Mears, who is the most dynasty appeal? Martavis Bryant, Moncrief, Brown in Arizona, Wilson in Chicago, or Jones in Cincinnati?
I like Moncrief.
Me too. Me too. I like him a lot.
He's actually going to be their fourth receiver to open the season. And Reggie Wayne is 1,000. And Akeem Nicks can't stay healthy. So they're starting receivers next year could be Moncrief and Hilton.
Yeah, Moncrief was great in college. Really nice receiver. Ole Miss, I believe.
Yep. Eric Finkston, is Antonio Brown underrated in PPR leagues? He seems uber consistent.
Not in this room.
Yeah, no.
Maybe by nerds who don't know who Antonio Brown is.
Joel Peachfuzz.
Hey, Joel.
Definitely not me. Is it worth it if you can get three top 10 wide receivers?
It's like your cousin, right?
Yeah. If you can get three top 10 wide receivers.
With your first three picks, then get a running back like Martin, Matthews, or Sankey in a 10-team league.
Oh, you could probably pull it off in a 10-team league. I mean, think about it. Our 10-team league, I just took Brandon Marshall and Antonio Brown rounds three and round four. So if I had gone at five, Calvin Johnson.
It's possible.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know that you can get Martin, but you can probably get Matthews or Sankey in the fourth round.
Yeah. And that's I wouldn't hate that if it's a 10-team league where you have to start three wideouts.
But if you only have to start two?
I don't like it as much.
You'd rather have
Lacy and two stud receivers?
No,
like,
no,
I don't know.
But
Brandon
I'm thinking
Marshall
about your flex.
Antonio Brown.
I'm now thinking.
Who's
that,
your flex in that league? Who did you get to
it's,
be your
It's
flex?
Pierre Garçon. But
yeah, well, that's pretty good.
But what my
but that's not your first three picks.
But my point would be, would you rather have Antonio Brown as your flex by comparison to Frank Gore?
Yeah, but then Frank Gore wouldn't be my flex. Frank Gore would be like my number two running back because I'm taking three wide receivers
off the top. In a 10-team league, though, you would go.
Well, go ahead. I don't think you can answer it. I don't think you can ask
Let's
it that way.
Let's play out
way.
This imaginary situation.
I think you have to do another position, too. Antonio Brown's, you know, a better flex, but who's your number two running back if Antonio Brown's your flex?
I think if you're in a small 8-team league.
Okay, so you go,
you take
those three receivers with your first three picks,
who?
Right?
Calvin.
Marshall, Brown.
Okay.
Then round four, you're taking. Who are the guys he said? Sure, Sankey in round four. Round five, you're taking.
Who's there, Adam, at running back?
We're at, like, pick 45 here. Frank Gore.
10-team league. Yeah, about that point. Anybody else besides Gore?
Not really. Shane Vereen, Ray Rice, Chris Johnson, Trent Richardson.
I kind of perked up at Vereen or Rice.
All right, so your pick of that. Let's just say
Sankey, Vereen, and three stud wide receivers in an 8-team league where I have to start three wide receivers?
No, it's a 10-team league. And it's two wide receivers. Or is it? It's two wide receivers, and it's a 10-team league. You've got.
Is it PPR?
No,
probably not, right?
No. It's standard scoring. You've got Sankey and Vereen, and you've got three stud wide receivers, Calvin Johnson, Brandon Marshall, Antonio Brown. Antonio Brown's your flex. Alternatively, you have Calvin Johnson, Brandon Marshall, and in the third round you take Doug Martin, and then you go
Sankey.
And
then Vereen is my flex.
Or you take a third wide receiver there and Keenan Allen or Pierre Garçon
okay.
or Wes Welker.
So that's
flex.
I vote that.
How about you?
I gave up when he made it an 18 PPR league. Changed the whole question.
Is there beer at this
Six
draft?
Receivers.
Hey.
Is it free?
Can I have a hamburger? Can you make it a chicken?
Chris Christner. PPR league that gives bonuses for long touchdowns, which matters more for ranking wide receivers?
PPR.
PPR or the long touchdown thing?
PPR.
You can't predict the long touchdown thing.
Dirk Surgemore. Am I crazy or is Roddy White going to have a great year?
Listen to our previous podcast and you will hear us all sing the praises of Sherrod White.
I'm telling you, I wrote this in the average draft position preview yesterday, that Matt Ryan and Roddy White, just based on where their average draft position is right now, and potentially Steven Jackson and Devontae Freeman one way or the other, the Hard Knocks is going to push it. They will.
Their ADP is going to go up just because of Hard Knocks.
Well, they'll make plays in practice, and they'll make plays. You don't get to see this anywhere else. So, and those guys are names you know.
Matt Ryan, MVP.
MVP?
Of the National Football League?
Yeah.
You're out of your mind.
This is his big year. Blaine.
Did you just say booger year?
No, it's big year. Big booger year. Blaine asks, in a PPR league, Keenan Allen or Michael Crabtree?
Crabtree.
Yes.
Floyd or Cordarrelle Patterson, PPR?
Floyd.
Sanders or Terrence Williams?
Sanders.
And Matt Browning, who's a safer pick between Edelman, Macklin, and Emmanuel Sanders?
Sanders for me.
Sanders.
Safer?
Yes.
Yeah, although it was interesting that he didn't get a target. I would have thought in the first preseason game they would have tried to get him a target.
And I want to mention one more guy.
Especially two series of the first preseason game.
And let the criticism roll on in. It's fine. I accept it.
Your arms are hairy and your fingernails are weird.
Who do you think I'm who do you think I'm gonna mention here?
You laugh like middle management. I laugh like a woodpecker.
Who do you think I'm gonna mention here?
A receiver?
Yeah, because you mentioned not getting targets. Well, Reuben Randall didn't do anything, and who did?
Victor Cruz?
Jarrell Jernigan. And he was really good at the end of last year.
Because Cruz wasn't there.
When? Not in the Hall of Fame game.
No, but when Jernigan had his big games is when Cruz missed time.
No, but I'm saying Jarrell Jernigan actually did something in the Hall of Fame game. So is he going to take away from Reuben Randall?
I don't think so.
Okay. Well, I just wanted
Are you going to now say Jarrell Jernigan for MVP?
No.
That's your Quentin Patton this year? You'll hype him all the way up until the start of
season. Or like I did with Victor Cruz.
And then you'll draft a DST over him.
Or who's my guy last year?
Cruz was good for you. Cruz was good for you.
Yeah.
Last year your guy was Darren Sproles.
Ah! Yeah, he was.
You were really good 2 years ago. 2 years ago, you were like, I don't understand the hype for Ryan Matthews. Uh-huh. And you were...
Last year was the worst fantasy football year I've ever had. Ever. I am out for redemption this year.
There's a podcast you should listen to.
I know. I don't get it. All these people email in, thanks, you guys helped me win my league. I'm like, screw you, man.
No,
I didn't do anything.
Don't say screw you.
Nah, I don't mean it like
we
that.
Help those people.
Why is it at the end of every show you dig some sort of hole? I mean, last week you pissed off women.
No, that was yesterday. That wasn't last week.
Whatever. I forget where are we, what day it is.
I wonder how many women.
I slept 2 hours last night.
Yeah. Welcome to football season, Jamie.
Yeah, somebody tweeted me when I posted the blog after watching the Thursday night games. Don't you have to wake up in like 10 minutes? I said, I sleep in January.
There you go. Dave Richard, Jamie Eisenberg.
I slept like a baby.
Did you?
Yeah. Went to the gym this morning and everything.
You're a lucky man.
Look at these abs. Go ahead and wrap up the podcast.
Are we podcasting Monday?
Yeah, our podcast.
What's the schedule? Because I'm tired of these people tweeting us about
all right,
the
here's
time.
The schedule. Monday, we're in the afternoon. Tuesday through Friday, we might be on in the morning. If not next week, the week after. Goodbye. Have a great weekend.
Oh, jeez. That's harsh.
Angry little man, you are.